regulations more than any president in history. That's how we got all the jobs. And I cut your taxes, the biggest tax cut in the history of our country. And we will make the Trump tax cuts permanent and reduce taxes even more for working families and small businesses. They want to let the Trump tax cuts expire. If you do that, you will pay four times the amount of tax that you're paying right now. Somehow, you know, all my life I've watched politicians, and they always said, I'm going to reduce your taxes. This is the only group I've ever seen. We're going to raise your taxes by four times. Oh, let's vote for them. There's something crazy going on. There's something crazy in the water. But, you know, I produce the cleanest water and the cleanest air. That's what I want. I want clean water, clean, crystal clean air. Unlike me, Joe Biden isn't fighting for the working people. He's fighting for all of the corrupt interests that get rich off the suffering of the middle class. And he's fighting for China. And he's fighting for lots of other countries. He puts America last. Crooked Joe backed NAFTA, China's entry into the World Trade Organization, and the horrible Trans-Pacific Partnership, and also the ripoff called the Paris Climate Accord. Sounds so nice. Except we were paying the whole brunt of it. China wasn't paying, Russia wasn't paying, India wasn't paying. We were paying $1 trillion for the Paris Climate Accord. Sounds so nice. I said, you know, when I terminate this deal, I'm going to get killed on this one. I terminated it. Everybody thanked me. It was like, because they all know the people are really smart. They get it. They get it. What we are doing for other countries, and we're destroying ourselves, and we owe $35 trillion. You know, it's not like, gee, we have nothing but cash. He sent our blood and treasure to back regime change in Iraq, regime change in Libya, regime change in Syria, and every other globalist disaster for half a century, it's been going on the same. I took our soldiers out. You know, I'm the only president that didn't start a war. I'm the only president. I finished the war. I finished it. I finished the war with ISIS, the ISIS caliphate. I finished it. But I didn't start a war. I got our soldiers out of Syria. I read this morning that, oh, gee, it was a shame. We had 5,000 soldiers on the border, Syria and Turkey, right on the border. So you have Syria, Turkey, and in the middle, we have 5,000. In between, a 250,000-person army and 150,000. I went to a general. I say, how do our 5,000 soldiers do in that case? You got two warring nations. And they say, not good, sir. I say, I think it's time to get them out, right? I got them out. Then we had 54 soldiers. And I say, this one, I don't have to ask a general. Get them the hell out of there. You know what? Essentially, nothing happened. They've had that border for 2,000 years, different names. But they've had that border for 2,000 years. They've been fighting for 2,000 years. Why do we have soldiers here? I took them out. And we didn't have people killed. We had nobody killed. And they still fight over the border a little bit, but not much. It's, you know, they fight for a little while, then they stop. This goes on for thousands. This goes on for thousands of years. No, you know, we are... Now, we call ourselves, because, you know, I'm conservative. What difference? I'm the party of common sense. We're the party of common sense. It's not a conservative thing. It's not a liberal thing or a Democrat or Republican thing. After years of Crooked Joe building up foreign nations under my leadership, we will once again build up our nation, if that's okay. Let's build up our nation. I think it's time, right? It looks like a good soldier there. I will revoke China's most favored nation's trade status. They have a most favored nation. They're favored. I said, why do you have that presidency? Well, we are a developing nation. You got nothing but cash. You're killing us. We paid them $500 billion a year. They built their military because of stupid people. And one thing, you know, somebody said it. You don't even think about it. I read it two nights ago. Donald Trump was the one that brought up China and the tremendous threat that China is, and the amount of money that China takes out of our country every year. You never heard that until I came along. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, but I did talk about it. But I was doing something. We took out hundreds of billions of dollars out of China. Not one president took out 10 cents. In fact, Biden wants to revoke the tariffs, but he can't because it's so much money. He can't do it. He just can't do it. I also will pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. That's if China or any other country makes us pay 100 or 200% tariff or tax, we will make them pay a reciprocal tariff or tax of 100 or 200% right back. We don't do that. We have countries, and it's not only China, it's many countries. We have countries that charge us tremendous taxes and tariffs, and we don't charge them anything. And I was changing that and got a lot of it changed with South Korea, with Japan, made a new deal with Japan. Oh, Japan was really, you know, Prime Minister Abe, he was great, of Japan. He was assassinated. He was a great friend of mine. He was a great gentleman. He was a, he loved his people. He loved his country. I went to him. I said, you know, the trade deal between Japan and the United States is the most unfair thing I think I've ever seen. They sell cars to us. We can't sell cars to them. They sell food to us. We can't sell food to them. And it's that way with the European Union, too. And I said to Abe, I love that guy. He was great. He was going to run again. He was getting well, and he was going to run again. Very popular guy. He would have won easily. But I said, we can't do this. He said, I was waiting for you to ask. He said, nobody's ever asked. Nobody from your country has ever asked, you know? He said, I'm shocked it took you so long. And I renegotiated it. I mean, I liked him so much, I could have made probably a tougher deal, but we made a tough deal. I liked him. He was a great guy, and we renegotiated that deal. We renegotiated a lot of deals. One of the best deals I made was with China, but because of COVID, I don't even talk about that deal. China had to buy $50 billion worth of our product, our agricultural product mostly. And, you know, it's interesting, during the negotiation, I said, what are we asking for? $15 million, 15. So I thought they meant 50, right? I heard it as 50. So when they came to me, they said, we have the deal done with China. It's $15 million. I said, what do you mean 15? It's 50, you told me. They said, no, no, it's 15. I said, go back and ask for 50. And we got it. Can you believe it? We got it. I thought they said 50. But the Reciprocal Trade Act is basically a terrible expression, but it's, you know, as accurate as I can make it. You know, I have a man I have a lot of respect for. He said, please, you speak so beautifully. Don't hurt your speech by using foul language. But sometimes foul language is a little bit necessary. More necessary here than on television. I have to say, on television, it doesn't sound good. Although it sounds okay, actually, but it doesn't sound good. Here, you don't make your point. But I don't think this is too bad, because reciprocal trade, that's you screw us, we screw you. And then what happens, you charge us 100%, we charge you. I don't know how else I can say it so briefly, right? That's about as good as we can do. There's just no word that can cover that. So, and you know who that was? Does anybody know? You know who that was that told me? A great man, actually. Franklin Graham, you're right. It was Franklin Graham. He wrote me a beautiful letter, and he said, your speech was so good, and I loved it and everything else, but you don't have to use foul language. And I very rarely do. And it's not really it's just, you know, like little words, like that word that starts with a B and ends with a T, right? It's just such a descriptive word. I don't know how you replace some of these words. But I think of him when I'm about to do, and usually, last speech, I said, I'm going to behave, and I did. I totally behaved. This one, I did use those two words, the same word twice. Biden would say I used three words four times, you know? Remember that? He'd have four words, and he'd say, in the famous words, those two words, and then he'd issue four words. This guy, this is what we have negotiating. This is what we have negotiating with Putin, with President Xi of China, with Kim Jong-un, who's loaded up with nuclear weapons. This is what we have negotiating. You know, when France came out and wanted to tax our nation, I told them you can't do it. And if you do it, you're going to pay 100% tax on all of your wine and all of your champagne that you send in. And all my people said you couldn't do it. You'll never be able to change it. They're going to tax our companies 25%. And I said, we're going to do it. And I did that. And it was a miracle. They said, Macron, you know Macron, good man. He loves France. He doesn't love us. He loves France. Right? And I said, no, 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 you have to pay. We're going to charge you 100% unless that disappears. Everybody told me it couldn't be done. My own people told me it couldn't be done. And I said, nope, 100% starting on Monday. This was Friday. And he called me back 5 minutes later. He said, we would be delighted to drop that tax. We would be delighted to drop that 25% tax on your companies, Vivek. But if I gave it to Vivek to do, I think he'd pull it off, right? You know. He pulled it up. It's no wonder Joe Biden and his thugs are so desperate to stop us. They know that we are the only ones who can stop them, and they know that. All of their persecutions and prosecutions is happening because I'm running for president and leading very big in the polls, including in this great state. Now, do you remember in 2016 we won? And then we did much better here in 2020, but they, you know, lots of things happened. And then in the end, we won. But they, you know, by that time, it was a little late. But in 2016, we won. And I got a poll from ABC Washington Post, two, you know, very, Washington Post is down 50% in readers, which is a good thing because people don't like fake news. And ABC, you know, they have George Stopalopoulos. I call him Slopadopoulos. George Stopalopoulos. I said, George, I've had you up to here. You got to start telling the truth. You got to start telling the truth. They're doing one of the debates, I understand. See, I agreed to this stuff. You know, I agreed to the debates. They came up to me, and they said, we're going to do a debate. We'd like to challenge you to a debate. But they didn't want me to accept, so they gave me something that I couldn't accept. CNN, fake tapper, right? Fake tapper. Sit down at tables, no audience. I don't know, this thing sounds pretty unexpected. No audience. I said, well, I think we should at least stand up. Don't you think it would be respectful? But I said, we'll do it. They didn't think I was going to do it. They thought I would say, no, I don't want to do it because CNN is so, you know, it's fake news. But I think maybe they'll be honest. I think fake Tapper would really help himself if we're honest. But you'll see immediately if it is or not. I'll probably be Dana Bash is the other. I'll probably be negotiating with three people, but that's okay. I've done that before. I'll be debating three people instead of one half of a person. The outrageous charges in New York were a corrupt creation of crooked Joe Biden and his group. And they really weaponized, what they did is they weaponized the Department of Justice. They weaponized all the White House. What they did is disgraceful. It was all planned and carried out by his thugs in Washington, giving orders to New York. All these people went to Washington. It was all one big thing, including civil cases, by the way. The case was completely devoid of facts, merit, or even any crimes. Every legal analyst, all great people, I don't have to go over their names, I go over them all the time, but all of the great legal analysts said, there is no case here, there is no crime, he shouldn't charge, etc. But every single one of them said that. This wasn't a legitimate indictment. This was a Joe Biden indictment to try and hurt your political opponent. And it's really reverberated because the numbers we've had, we've never had numbers better than this. And they've really gone up a lot since that fake deal was started. But since the rigged trial in New York, and think of this, the poll numbers have increased very substantially. And the fundraising has, I think, set all-time records. I mean, I think it set all-time. And you know what? If you understand this stuff, if it hadn't, it would have gone the opposite way. If this was real stuff, it would have been the opposite. Most of the time, it would be. But I have a nice platform. I was able to explain what it is. It was fake. I also got Dershowitz. You take a look at Dershowitz and Mark Levin. All great people. Andrew McCarthy, Greg Jarrett. All great people. Jonathan Turley, all fantastic. Do you think Biden could remember 5, 6, 7 names? I don't think so. I don't think so. And honestly, many others. And they all came out and they said, this is a terrible thing that's happening to our country, et cetera, et cetera. And people read. And that's when the numbers quadrupled. Everything quadrupled. The poll numbers were great. The fundraising numbers went up at levels that nobody's ever seen before because they know it's all fake stuff. It's a Biden indictment. These aren't indictments. These are Biden indictments. He did it to hurt his political opponent because he's a lowlife who's the dumbest president we've ever had in addition to everything else. The radical left Democrats rigged the presidential election in 2020, and we're not going to let them rig the presidential election in 2024. And every time, we're not going to let them do it. By the way, if we win Wisconsin, now, you know Biden. You know what Biden would say? He'd say, if we win Iowa, oh, sir, you're in Wisconsin. Oh. But I have to be careful because when I do that stuff, they'll sometimes put it on like I was saying it. So when I imitate him, because he can't find his way off a stage ever. There's only about, well, there's only four or five stairs of this one. Sometimes I have like seven stairs. Anything built by the government, we have a lot of stairs because they have unlimited money. But you know what? When I imitate him, and you've heard this a little bit, I say it every once in a while, I said to my wife, how good was that speech? Was that great? It was the greatest. I had 107,000 people show up in New Jersey 3 weeks ago. 25,000 people in the South Bronx. People weren't sure about that one. It was love. That was a love fest, South Bronx. But I called up my wife. I said, how good. Now, I had just imitated him. Tried to get off a stage. And, you know, there's walls around, and I walk into walls. Kidding. It's sarcasm. It's like, it's truth. I mean, he walks into stages, he falls down. I better not ever fall down because they'll say, he said, we just don't want to fall down. You have to keep yourself from falling down. You just have to be careful. But he'd walk into walls and everything. So I said to my wife, how great was it, New Jersey? 107,000 people, nobody could have ever in history, nobody could have gotten 107,000 people. There's never been a politician, Vivek. You're just peanuts by comparison, Vivek. You don't know it. He hasn't learned his lesson yet. He has not learned his lesson yet. But he's a good man. He's going to be with us in some form. He hasn't learned. But I said to my wife, Vivek, I said, our great First Lady, she's our great, people like our First Lady. So I said, honey, I'll tell you, it was unbelievable. How good was it? It was unbelievable. The crowd, nobody's ever seen a crowd. That broke every record in New Jersey history. Nobody's ever seen 100, and I don't have a guitar. Don't forget, Elvis had a guitar. I don't have a guitar. I have nothing. I stand up here by myself. Terrible. But all these people, I said, how great? Tell me, how great? She said, well, it was okay. I said, what do you mean okay? It was phenomenal. No, but your hair didn't look good. And then she said, the killer of all killers. She said, and what happened? You couldn't find your way off the stage. They showed you walking into walls. So the fake news had me walking into walls when I was just imitating Biden because he walks into walls. You gotta live with it. You gotta live with it. That's why we call them the fake. That's why we call them the fake news. Every time the radical left Democrats, Marxists, communists, and fascists indict me, I consider it a great badge of honor. Remember, I got indicted more than Alphonse Capone. Al Capone was the meanest. Scarface. He was the meanest ever. The worst. Oh, he was right down the road, actually, Chicago. He controlled Chicago with an iron fist. If he went out to dinner with a person, didn't like him, they were gone by the next morning, never found again. You know, they're usually a part of the foundation of a building going up, right? I got indicted more than Al Capone, all because I ran for office. If I didn't run for office, I'd be enjoying life. But you know what? I enjoy this better because we're going to make America great again. That's what I want. That's what I want. Very simple. And I'm being indicted for you. Never forget, our enemies want to take away my freedom because I will never, ever let them take away your freedom. That's why I'm here. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. And in the end, they're not after me. Quite simply put, I am just standing in their way. I'm standing in their way. And they're not. I'm not moving. My life could have been so simple. I could have had 200 lawyers less. My life could have been so simple. I would have had a beautiful life, but this is a beautiful life. This is far more beautiful. I mean, what's better? Being with you right now. Look at that beautiful lake. Beautiful, right? What's better, this or sitting on the Pacific or the Atlantic? Which has sharks. You don't have sharks. See, that's a big advantage. I'll take the one without the sharks. We're pleased to be joined today by many incredible patriots, including the man who is going to help Wisconsin reverse every single Biden disaster, your next U.S. senator, and this guy is central casting, Eric Hovde. Eric, stand up, Eric. Come on up, Eric. Eric has had an outstanding career in business, a real success, and now he's going to get things done. Eric will vote to crack down on illegal immigration, end Joe Biden's border disaster, support our police, and turn back the wave of violent crime. He will help us rapidly halt Biden inflation and unleash energy the likes of which you have never seen. But most importantly, Eric will defeat your radical left senator, the worst senator in the U.S. Senate, they say. She's the worst senator. She's rated, I think, the lowest, the worst. Is a bad one. You got a bad one in Ohio, too. I think he's going to be defeated, Brown. But Tammy Baldwin voted for every single inflation-causing Biden spending bill. 100% voted with Biden. And Biden doesn't represent you. $11 trillion worth of votes that have caused massive inflation. She wants to help Biden impose the largest tax hike in American history for four straight years. She's cast a vote. And remember, every single time she voted for crooked Joe Biden, she voted in favor of sanctuary cities. She voted to cancel my emergency declaration on the border to stop people from coming in. Thank you very much, Tammy. I appreciate it. And she opposed a little thing called Remain in Mexico that I did anyway. She opposed it. I did it anyway. And Baldwin supports Joe Biden's effort to undermine our police officers in the middle of the worst crime wave in modern history. She wants to not take care of our police. Tammy Baldwin is a radical left Democrat extremist. She's a horrible, horrible senator. And this gentleman, I mean, is this central casting, this guy? And his wife looks even better than he does. That's pretty good. But he's going to secure our borders and stop inflation. He's going to help me. We're going to win. You know, again, we win Wisconsin, and we win the whole thing. We win the whole thing. So we're going to win. Eric, say hello.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. And we do have a gorgeous state. Look at how beautiful Wisconsin is. Now, the president and I are both business guys. In fact, I'm in the development business. That development project over there, I'm developing right now, 220 units, revitalizing Racine. But you know, in the world of business, results matter. And in business, you either get it done or you don't get it done. So let's take a quick look. President Trump, inflation averaged about 1.7%. Almost nothing. Joe Biden, 6%. And I agree with President Trump. The prices have gone up more than 20%. Are you kidding me? They're fudging the numbers. How about your incomes? Do you know your incomes grew under President Trump at a faster rate than any time in American history? 7.7%. Under Joe Biden, sadly, your wages have declined by 2.9%. We've never had that in 3 years. They're crushing the middle class. They're crushing the working class. And how about the border? President Trump showed you the numbers. The numbers are clear. He had the border completely under control. Joe Biden, first year, over 3 million. Second year, over 3 million. Third year, they don't even know. I mean, we may have 16 million illegal immigrants. Our streets are being flooded with fentanyl. And by the way, Mr. President, I know you're going to take care of this. They can't account for 100,000 children. And sadly, too many of those kids have probably ended up in the sex trade. So the results are clear. This president, no wars. Joe Biden, the world's awash in conflict. So the results speak for themselves. And Tammy Baldwin has voted with Joe Biden 95.5% of the time. Now I gotta ask you, Mr. President, you have a lovely, gorgeous wife. I got married. I'm lucky with a beautiful wife. We've been great relationship, but I can tell you, I don't agree with her 95.5% of the time, and I sure the heck know she doesn't agree with me 95.5% of the time. So how could Tammy Baldwin agree with Joe Biden 95.5% of the time? She's been a disaster. She's talking about fentanyl. She's done nothing on fentanyl. She has voted for open borders. She has voted for all the debt. Everything she has done wrong. So I'm going to get off the stage now for turn it back to President Trump. But President Trump raised The Apprentice. And this time around, Mr. President, you and I are going to work hard to take back this country, because this country is going to be saved right here in Wisconsin. And it's all of you and you that are going to fire Joe Biden and Tammy Baldwin. Let's take back America. Make America great and restore the American dream. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you very much, Eric. Great job. Go out and vote. You're getting a dynamo. You need that. That's what you need. You need that in Washington. We're also pleased to be joined by former Governor Scott Walker. Scott, great governor. A great governor. You're coming with us, Scott. You're coming with us. Thank you very much. And a friend of mine for a long time, another great one. This was a great one. I don't know. I've heard he's like the most popular person in your whole state. Although Scott's right there, too. Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson. Tommy, thank you. And Tommy, I hear you're heading up the Trump campaign in Wisconsin, right? Right? All right, we're all done with that, Tommy. I like that. Tommy's heading it up. How the hell, can I do better? I don't think so, right? Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate it very much. Scott, thank you very much. House Republican leader Steve Scalise, very brave guy. Steve, thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. And members of Congress, a real warrior, Derek Van Orden. He cannot take no for an answer. Thank you very much. Thank you, Eric. Thanks, Derek. That's great. Brian Stile took the place of somebody that wasn't nearly as good as him. Doing a much better job than his predecessor. Thank you very much. That's great. And he's working on all sorts of J6 scams and hustles and what's happened, and he's in charge of the committee, and I hear you're doing a fantastic job, and you're going to make sure there's no that we have an honest election in the great state of Wisconsin, right? This area. Thank you very much. Great job. Appreciate it. Another friend of mine, Glenn Grothman. Glenn, thank you very much. And we all know he's here because I heard he made a great speech before, and people really like him. He came sort of, nobody knew him too much. All of a sudden, they say, he's a smart guy, and he's a very smart guy. Vivek Ramaswamy. Thank you, Vivek. He's done a great job, actually. Wisconsin GOP Chairman Brian Schemming. Thank you, Brian. Very important guy. We're gonna win it. We gotta win it. Thank you, Brian. And the next candidate from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, Tony Weed. Tony, thank you. Great. Oh, another central casting guy. Wow. They have good-looking people in this state, don't they, huh? Wow. That's great. Good. Thank you, Tony, very much. You're going to do great. From the very first day that we take back the White House from crooked Joe Biden, I believe we are going to have the four greatest years in the history of our country. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after it's about us. After we win the presidency, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settle. I get along with both of them very well. Should have never happened. All those people dead, All those cities destroyed, you can never rebuild them. Never rebuild them like they were. Beautiful, thousand-year-old buildings with the gold domes. You can never rebuild that, but what a shame. And one thing I'll do that nobody else can say, they can not even talk, I know all the players, I will prevent a thing called World War III. And you are closer to it. You are closer to it than you have any idea. Biden's weakness has put us in grave danger. I will restore peace through strength. You know, again, Russia didn't take any land while Trump was president, but they did take land under Bush. They did take land under Obama. Looks like they've taken the whole country from Biden with all the money that we spend. You could have settled that deal over a couple of phone calls, frankly. And you wouldn't have anybody dead, and you'd have the country would be intact. It would be intact. But he couldn't do that. And the way he talked, I used to say, boy, he's saying the exact opposite thing that you have to say to get that thing ended. What a horrible, horrible president he's been. In my next term, we will build a great iron dome over our country, a dome like has never seen before, a state-of-the-art missile defense shield that will be entirely built in America. And we will create, on top of everything else, jobs, jobs, jobs. And we need protection, too. We're going to build the greatest dome of them all. You see what happened in Israel. They shot 3,000 missiles, and they knocked down almost all of them. And we're entitled to that also, you know. And it was our idea, by the way. And Ronald Reagan wanted to do it many years ago, but unfortunately then it sounded like Star Wars. He was ahead of his time, actually. But we didn't have the technology that you have now. Now we have the greatest technology there is. And we're going to build a dome, a safety shield over the top of us so that if we see something coming in 5 years from now, I'll be talking a little bit differently, maybe. We'll see something coming. I say, don't worry, the dome's going to take care of it. The dome, don't worry about it. The dome will take care of it. But we should have that. You know, we should be entitled to that, don't you think, with all the hostility out there? I think so. All made in the USA, including right here. To further secure America's future and create opportunity for young people, I will end Joe Biden's war on crypto. We will ensure that the future of crypto and the future of Bitcoin will be made in America. Otherwise, other countries are going to have it. The other countries are going to have it. We're going to rebuild our cities, become beacons of hope, safety, and beauty better than they have ever been before. Right now, they're death and squalor, and they're falling apart. We're going to rebuild our cities. We will take over the horribly run capital of our nation in Washington, D.C., and clean up, renovate, and rebuild our capital city so that it no longer is a nightmare of murder and crime. People go there from Wisconsin. I want to see the Washington Monument, and they end up getting shot. They end up getting killed. It's a horrible thing taking place in the Capitol. We're going to take it over. It's going to be run properly. It's going to be beautified. It's going to be cleaned. I went there the other day for one of these trials, you know, these trials that keep me busy so much. You know, I'm only allowed to campaign about 20% of the time because I have all these Biden trials. But so far, it's not working. We can never let that work. We can't let them get away with it. But I went there. And the roads were so badly damaged. There were potholes all over the place. There was trash all over the main highways, trash, garbage. You're driving over garbage. The medians in the middle, you know, the metal medians were all broken and rusted and disgusting. That's no way to have a capital. Can you imagine these foreign leaders come in? And generally, their capitals are in good shape. You know, that's why they're dictators. They say, we don't want broken medias. We don't want potholes in our roads. We want to have them nice. I went to China. You never saw anything like that. A road 10 cars wide times two. Medians that were impeccable. They're probably 100 years old. They were made out of steel. They were painted. They were impeccable. All this stuff. We got to have the same thing. We got to have it. We have to have it done properly. Our nation's capital is the murder capital of the world. Our nation's capital is falling apart. Graffiti all over the beautiful marbles and granites. Graffiti. Graffiti all over the place. We're going to clean up our capital. We're going to be proud of our capital. We're going to take care of our capital. On day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding of any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto the lives of our children. And I will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate. And I will keep, who even thinks you have to say this stuff, you know? Like, open borders. Who wants an open border? Nobody wants to know. Who has open borders? But who, some of these things, it's embarrassing to say. I will keep men out of women's sports. Why would you have to say that? You know, you go back 10, 15 years ago, and somebody would say, did he just say he was going to keep, what's that all about? The women are being, it's so disrespectful for women. The other day, a woman playing volleyball got hit by a ball, hit by somebody who transitioned, a large person, very large, and the ball came at her at a level that no, at a speed that which she's never seen before. It hit her, and it had bad impact. Bad things happened. Bad things. And that's happened before. The swimming is ridiculous. The weightlifting is probably the most ridiculous. Weightlifting records that stood for 18 years of being obliterated by hundreds of pounds by people that transitioned. I don't think it's we're going to get rid of that immediately. I will fully uphold the Second Amendment. We will protect innocent life, and we will restore free speech. And I will secure our elections with a goal to have one-day voting, paper ballots, proof of citizenship, and voter ID. But until then, Republicans must win. We want a landslide, and the expression I use, where you just can't lose, is we got to make it too big to rig. Too big to rig. Because they're dishonest people. If you took the 10 worst presidents in the history of the United States and added them up, they would not have done near the destruction to our country as Joe Biden and the Biden administration of thugs has done. What they've done to our country is incredible. What they've done, and you haven't even seen it yet. You haven't seen the terrorists yet. You haven't seen the killing yet that's starting to take place. Again, it takes them a little time. They want to get accustomed to the country. They're not going to start from day one because they don't know. Then they see our laws, which are so weakened and so pathetic, and they probably can't believe them. But you're going to see things that will be horrible unless you elect me president, in which case we're going to get them the hell out of here. We're going to get them out fast. So if you want to save America, I'm asking everybody to go out to the website, swampthevoteusa.com. Swamp the vote, right? The swamp. This is a different kind of swamp than we usually use. Swamp. We got rid of a lot of the swamp. Comey and all those guys, we got rid of that. Swampthevoteusa.com to make a plan to vote either by mail, early in person, or to vote on election day. You have to vote. And watch your vote. Watch your vote. Because they tend to disappear. Watch your vote. Make sure it's counted. And you can do that. Make sure it's counted. You have great people. Again, Tommy is going to be totally involved. And you have two great governors that are going to be involved. And we appreciate it very much. Two great governors. We got to win it. We win it. We win the whole thing. Then we see you guys in Washington. We'll see you in Washington. And if you want to volunteer to help us turn out the voters in your neighborhood, sign up and get trained at TrumpForce47.com. TrumpForce47.com. Go out, because we want to watch it. You want to watch for the cheating. I say guard the vote. I say guarding the vote is far more important. We have all the votes we need. We have to guard the vote. We have to stop the steal. If we stop the steal, we win. I don't have to campaign anymore. Just stop the steal. So Scott and Tommy, do a job out there, okay? You'll do it. In conclusion, from Madison to Milwaukee, from La Crosse to Kenosha, I love Kenosha. And from Green Bay to right here in Racine, we inherit the legacy of Wisconsin patriots who braved the incredible dangers to carve out a life in a vast and wild frontier. We stand on the shoulders of the American giants who crossed the oceans, explored the continent, settled the Great Plains, won the Wild West, laid down the railroads, raised up those great, big, beautiful skyscrapers. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. conquered the skies, fought two world wars, and won. And we didn't have to change the name of the forts, by the way. Does anybody know what I mean by that? Fort Bragg is no longer Fort Bragg. We won two world wars. So many of the forts are changed. The names of the forts have changed. We won freedom from those forts, and they changed the name. So horrible. Defeated fascism and communism, mastered space flight, created Space Force. That was mine. First time in 78 years. And made America into the single greatest nation in the history of the world. But now we are a nation in serious decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has lost its confidence, lost its willpower, and lost its strength. We are a nation that has lost, quite simply, its way. But we are not going to allow this horror to continue. Less than 4 years ago, we were a great nation.